those of you that can. I know some of you may not feel like it right now. So Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. Proverbs chapter 6, starting in verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, and a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Y'all can be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll bless the teaching and the preaching of the word of God tonight, Lord. I pray, Lord, that I would only say that which you would want to be said here tonight, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you'd open the hearts and minds of the folks to receive what it is that you have here tonight, Lord. Lord, I just want to thank you and praise you, Lord, for your goodness, for the gift of salvation, Lord, and for your good people, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to go back and emphasize a particular verse in here, verse 17. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. And hands that shed innocent blood. Have any idea where I'm going tonight? And hands that shed innocent blood. What I want to talk about tonight, and I don't know that I'll be able to preach. I won't, and I know I won't be able to preach everything that I have tonight. I know I won't. Most of what I'm going to be focused upon tonight is teaching. And then I'm going to ask Brother Ben for an opportunity to come back and actually do the preaching that's connected with what I'm going to have to say tonight. What I want to talk with you about tonight is the murder of the innocents, the abomination of abortion. I've been in churches for years and years now, and I have never heard anybody other than one individual speak or preach a sermon on abortion itself. I've heard it condemned from the pulpit. I've heard it condemned from the places where men and women are teaching, but I have never heard a sermon that was specifically preached on abortion. I have never heard anyone get up and give you a lot of statistics and stuff to try to open your eyes as to what's going on. I've never heard that in a church. And the only time that I've heard a sermon preached against abortion in probably 12 or 13 years now was preached in this church by Brother Ben Watts. And he preached it not this past Mother's Day, but the Mother's Day before that is what he preached on. This country is wicked and ungodly. I don't know if you know some of the figures that are connected with the abortion industry or not. But did you know that we have killed over 54 million babies since the Roe versus Wade decision was ungodly, the ungodly decision that was put upon this country by the Supreme Court of the United States of America? If you go to the Supreme Court's website and look at the documents that they have uploaded on abortion that deal with that particular issue, you'll find 81 different entries on their website that deal with abortions. And I did not have time to look at all that I saw on their website. I just pulled up some of the major articles. But included within this material that I have, I've got 22, actually it's 24 Supreme Court decisions that deal with abortion. And I don't know if any of you are familiar with the procedures that they go through to accomplish or to complete an abortion. It is the vilest, yes, most vicious, monstrous thing that you'll ever see. It'll make you sick to your stomach. The problem that we have in this country, believe it or not, in relation to abortion, is that most of our elected leaders are what they call pro-choice. And pro-choice is a bad selection of terms. It ought to be called pro-abortion, or pro-baby killing is actually the appropriate term that it should be referred to as. Now, sometime this week, maybe tomorrow or Friday, when I get through with this material, it's going to be uploaded to the church's website, okay? It'll be there for you. And if there's anybody that doesn't have internet access, I'll be glad to try to get a copy of the material that I am going to talk about here tonight and try to get it into your hands. I've got 18 pages, full pages, like this page right here, of notes that deal just with the statistics and some of the ins and outs. So obviously, I'm not going to be able to cover all of that tonight, but it will be available for you to have a look at. I'll be glad to make a copy of it for you. Now, when you go to the church's website, it's also going to be linked to several websites that are out there for some information that are on that site. There's a website out there for the, how many of you have heard of the National Right to Life Committee? How many of you have heard of that? Okay. That is an advocacy group out there that is very strongly anti-abortion. Yeah. And they push legislation to try to get it through the U.S. Congress to get these laws overturned. They're specifically after Roe versus Wade. There is a way that they can get around that decision if they can get some people to agree that life begins at conception. How many of you believe that life begins at conception? Do you know that that is what the Bible teaches? The Bible teaches that life begins at conception. When Ruth conceived Obed, what is it that the Bible says in Ruth chapter 4, I believe verse 12 or 13, it said that God gave the conception. Do you know how many different times, there's probably 10 or 12 different times in there where the Bible says that God opens and closes the womb. It's God that opens and closes the womb. You as a woman or you as an abortionist do not have the right to take away that which God gives. The biblical definition for taking away life in that fashion is murder. It's murder. Now, I do not know how many of you in here may have family members that have had abortions or friends or relatives that have had abortions. I'm going to tell you this before I get started with this. This kind of comes down on me personally, okay? It camps on me personally because I had a daughter who got an abortion as a 16-year-old without my permission. Without my permission. But with a wife's permission. That is wicked and ungodly. I'm here to tell you that if you participate in that sort of thing, you try to force your child to have an abortion, or you go to have an abortion if you're a young lady that's sitting here tonight. If you do that, you are guilty of murder. You're guilty of murder. I don't know how to put that any stronger. And by the way, what a woman carries in her womb is not a fetus. It's a baby. It's a baby. Never, ever let anybody tell you that it's anything else.
That's right.
But, brother, I got so fired up while I was doing this study, Brother Junior, it made me want to puke, if you know what I mean. Some of the things that I've seen, and I've got something here with me tonight. I just took it over to let Brother Klein look at it. I'm going to give it to you, and I hope that it leaves a permanent impression upon you. I don't believe that there's anybody in here that's pro-abortion. But I would like for you to have the materials available to be able to help somebody to deal with the issue of abortion. Or if you have a family member that gets pregnant out of wedlock, that you'll be able to help them deal with. Do you know what the root cause of abortion is? Fornication. That's what it is. Fornication is the root cause of abortion. That's not to say that some married couples do not have a wife that gets pregnant and then have her to give get an abortion. That does happen, and that creates a lot of issues within the family. You know that the very, very first time that blood was shed upon the face of this earth here, do you know that God said that it cried? It cried up unto him. And you know when that was? That was in Genesis 4:10. And he said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." The blood cries. You're numbered. And when you start shedding what is called innocent blood. Do you know that most Old Testament references that use the term innocent blood are referring to children and babies? Did y'all know that? Are you aware of the number of occurrences, the number of times that happens in the Old Testament where God deals with that? Do you know that that was one of the major reasons that Israel went off into captivity? Because the most wicked king in the history of the nation of Judah, who was Manasseh, however you want to say his name, he was guilty of sacrificing his own son to the pagan gods. And what we're doing here in America and throughout the world is no different than what they were doing, and they came under the condemnation from God because of it. It's no different, people. None at all. It's wicked. It's ungodly. It's murder. That's all that you can say about it. But you take a look at what he done. But he sent the whole nation of Israel into captivity for that. He judged the nation of Israel. And at some point in this time, we're going to read some scripture that shows you that he specifically judged them because of sacrificing their sons and daughters. What are we doing, Brother Klein? What are we doing? We're sacrificing our sons and daughters to a God of convenience is who we're doing it. Do you know that if you go and you look at the reasons that are given for abortion, go and have a look at what the reasons that they give. Do you know that they're all reasons of convenience? It's going to put me out of my way. I might have to sacrifice some. There's no sacrificial love anymore. If the baby gets in my way, I'm just going to kill the baby. That's the attitude that folks have. And by the way, there's a couple of professors at Cambridge University in England today, not today, but in recent months, have been pushing for the right of people to kill their babies after they're born, called post-birth abortion. And folks, I don't know where it stops at. Do you know that last year in the world, that there were 43,800,000 abortions in the world? Did you know that? Make a connection to you. Revelation chapter 9 pictures God coming down in judgment upon the world because they cease not from what? In verse 21, they cease not from their murders. The whole world is caught up in this thing. They mock God. 43,800,000. And did you know that since in 1973, since Roe versus Wade legalized abortion in the United States of America, that we have averaged 1.3 million babies that we've killed a year? 1.3 million babies. How ungodly can you get? How can you expect God to continue to bless this great nation? We're coming back under the bondage. I heard what you prayed tonight, Brother Jeremy. And we need help. We need serious help. One of the reasons we're under judgment is because of this issue of abortion. 54 million innocents have been killed by people here in the United States of America who, quote, is the most godly nation on the face of the earth, unquote. End of that. We're about as wicked as you can get when it comes to this idea of abortion. It's an abomination before God. That's what it is. Now, I want to go and give you some figures that I have here, and we'll move through this. And it's going to be kind of slow, but I want to get your attention. That's what I want to do. I want to get your attention. Abortion is an act of violence against an innocent human being. According to the Bible, abortion is murder. I am convinced that any individual who can commit the satanic, ungodly act of abortion has a seared conscience. Yes, sir. Yes. They are the same type of individuals who worked for the Nazi death camps at Auschwitz and Treblinka. Same type of individuals. There's no difference from them. Absolutely none. If you have or you perform an abortion, you are putting a child to death. While we believe that performing an abortion is murder, we do not advocate taking justice into our own hands individually. What I'm trying to tell you by that is you do not have the right to go to some abortion clinic and blow somebody's brains out. I understand the sentiment. I understand that. I understand your desire to want to do that. That's a godly desire. And you know why we've got to that point is because we have a nation that will not kill the abortionist. That's why we're where we are with that particular thing. But God has set up, according to Romans chapter 13, He set up the government. The government with the authority to wield the sword to put people to death who violates God's laws. Romans chapter 13, if you go and you read it. God has set that up. So we as individuals don't have that. So I don't want somebody going out here and saying that I'm advocating going to kill a bunch of abortion doctors. They deserve to die. Under God's law, they should be put to death. But it's not my prerogative as an individual to do that. But it is the duty under God of the state to accomplish that purpose. That's what it is. Okay. Regardless of whether abortion is legalized, which it has been since 1973 in America, where the state will not execute judgment and justice for the murder of the innocents, God will judge that nation. And we are under the judgment of God. Have you noticed the increased frequencies of wars that we experience? Have you noticed the economic emergencies that are coming up? Have you noticed how we're being manipulated into one controversial situation after another, where we're having to put our young men and women in harm's way to fight for a bunch of people that hate our guts? Do you see all of that happening? Do you know why that's happening? It's happening because we are under the judgment of God. Judgment's not coming. It's here, folks. It's here. And we're going down. If we do not repent, we are going down. That's all there is to it. There's also this idea. There's another form of birth control out there called sodomy that God will judge this nation for. Do you know, do you ultimately understand that what the consequences of sodomy are, if taken to their full extent? It is the extinction of humanity. That's where it ends up at, ultimately. So it's a form of birth control, and they're all pushed by Satan himself. They're all Satan's doctors. For those of you that don't know it, Kathleen Sebelius, how many of you have heard of her and know who she is? She is the Obama's Health and Human Services Secretary. She has mandated a rule that will require enrollees in the health care exchange plan under Obamacare to pay a $1 a month surcharge for abortion. That means you, if you're in that system, will be paying that $1 a month surcharge. That is against federal law. That also violates a promise that Barack Hussein Obama made to the American people when they were pushing Obamacare. Obamacare, if you go in and you read the bill, if you can possibly get through it, has a lot of provisions in it that govern abortion. Go and download you a copy of it and then do your search on abortion and find out how many times that it's mentioned in Obamacare. They're coming after us, folks. They're coming after us. I'm talking about people that believe like you and I. But I will never, never, God given me grace, I will never consent to the authority of the state to authorize abortion. It's murder. I'll not do it. Now, let me state at the outset that that abortion clinics are Satan's killing fields. That's what they are. Where mothers without natural affection pay Satan's devils to kill their unborn babies. They pay Satan's devils. And you know who the devils are, don't you? It's the abortionist, the baby killers, the murderers, the folks that are members of Planned Parenthood. Do you know how big Planned Parenthood is? Do you know that Planned Parenthood is the biggest abortion organization in the world? In the world, it's the biggest organization. And that is here in this country. Did you know that Planned Parenthood killed over 96, a baby every 96 seconds in America last year? They killed a baby every 96 seconds. And you take the rest of the abortion that has been accomplished in this country in the year 2011, every 26 seconds they were killing a baby. Every 26 seconds. What that means is they were killing 138 babies per hour. That means that they were killing over 3,300 babies per day. That means that they killed over 1,200,000 babies in America this past year in 2011. How long are we going to stand for this? How long can God tolerate that stuff? How long can He tolerate this nation for continuing to do that? What kind of a monster will take a baby and pull it halfway out of the womb and jab a pair of scissors into their skull? What kind of monster will do that? What kind of monster will run a pair of forceps in and pull a baby's legs off, pull a baby's arms off, crush a baby's head? What kind of monster will do that? And what kind of government will tolerate that kind of filth, that ungodly mess? I detest it. God help us. Woo! The figure that I just quoted to you, 3,323 abortions a day. Do you know what that equates to? In America, do you know, let me give you some figures here. For every 1,000 pregnancies in America in the year 2011, there were 300 abortions. 300 abortions for every 1,000 pregnancies. How long do you think God's going to tolerate that? How long, oh Lord? How long? How long can He tolerate it? How long? How long can we as a people tolerate it? Now, one thing about it, the abortion rates have fallen. The numbers have fallen. From a peak of 1.6 million in, I believe, right around 1980. The four high years for abortions in America were 1980, 81, 82, and 83. And when those years, they averaged 1.6 million. We're down to 1.2 something million abortions now. To put the 54.6 million figure that I quoted to you a minute ago about the number of abortions that America has been guilty of committing, let me put it in some kind of perspective so you'll understand how wicked it is. If you can't grab a hold of that, what that number means, and it's a huge number, isn't it? It's baffling, isn't it? To put it in some kind of a perspective, it exceeds by 5 million the combined populations of the countries of Denmark, Finland, Ireland, Norway, Sweden, Austria, and Belgium. Exceeds their, and I'm talking about today's population figures. It exceeds the population of those countries by 5 million. How ungodly can we get? How far can we go? How much of it can we put up with? I know this is not a shouting thing, but we need to have our eyes open. We need to not give up in the fight. Right. You got babies are being born by the millions in America today. There's people out there that are manipulating the system, the government system, having babies so that they can get money put into their pockets to live on. And then we got the other side of it where they're killing babies. Do you know what the average cost of an abortion is in America today for the most common abortions that are performed? $451. The most expensive abortions that are formed, they call them late-term abortions, they run about $3,000. Do you know that the abortion industry took in at least $554 million. $554 million in the United States of America last year. $554 million. Do you know that Planned Parenthood took in over a third of that themselves? And they're the ones that receive about 46% of Planned Parenthood's funding comes from the federal government. Right. We are supporting abortion through the federal government. They don't care what you think, Brother Roger. Brother Mike, they don't care what you think. Brother Bill, they don't care what you think. They're going to have it their way. They're going to kill your babies. It's in their agenda to murder and kill your babies. It's ungodly. It's antichrist is what it is. They don't have a clue about you. They don't give a rip about you, as I used to say. They'd just soon shoot you as anything else. And you say, well, no, they don't do that. But that is exactly where they're at. This country is in so much trouble. It's unbelievable. All right, let's take those figures a little bit further, too. To put the figures in a further perspective, just a little bit different perspective, consider that the number of children aborted each year in the United States of America exceeds the total number of American deaths in the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, World War I, World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, and the Persian Gulf Wars combined. Every year we kill more babies in America than were killed in all the wars that we've been involved in that we've ever fought. We kill more babies. How ungodly can we get? Here's a figure that'll shock you. In mothers who were less than 15 years old, there were 13,000 baby killing abortions in 1990. 15-year-old girls, less than 15, 14. 13,000 of their babies were killed in abortions, murdered. In the year 2000, because some people got their attention, 9,000 were murdered. And in 2007, 6,000 were murdered at less than 15 years of age. In New York City in 2009, there were 398 abortions out of every 1,000 pregnancies. 4 in 10 in the city of, and do you know that they report New York City's abortion statistics separate? They're the only city that does that. They report them out separately through, guess what, the CDC. And you know what the CDC is? It's a Centers for Disease Control located in Atlanta, Georgia. That's a slap in my face there, as if pregnancy is a disease, as if having a child is a disease. That's a slap in my face. The top 10 baby killing states in 2008 were California with 214,190, New York with 153,110, Florida with 94,360, Texas with 84,610, Illinois with 54,920, New Jersey with 54,160, Pennsylvania with 41,000, Georgia with 39,820, Michigan with 36,790, and Maryland with 34,290. That's your top 10 baby killing states. Documented figures. Tennessee killed 19,550 babies with abortion in 2008. And in 2008, there were 53 abortions in Cock County. 53 abortions in Cock County. I don't have any idea what the figures are for Greene County or any of the rest of those. But you take a look at these figures, and how can we as human beings, not even just saying Christians, how can we as human beings continue to put up with this? How? I don't understand how we can even get a concept or any kind of an idea that this thing of abortion is right in any sense. How do we get that? Do you know how we get it? We get it with a seared conscience. That's how we get it. The United States of America is living in Romans chapter 1.
That's right.
Yeah. We're living in Romans chapter 1. We are a reprobate nation.
Yeah, that's right.
We're reprobate. We are deserving of the judgment of God.
Right.
We have been the recipient of the greatest amount of blessings that flowed in from God of any nation that has ever existed on the face of this earth. Any nation. Any. And we've taken that and shoved it back in God's face and killed 54 million of His babies. They're His babies because the Bible says that the children are an heritage of the Lord. So we've killed 54 million of His babies. That's what we've done. I've got a lot more figures here, and I just can't. Do any of you know what a second and third term trimester abortion is? Any idea what that is? Anybody know what a trimester is? A trimester is the first 13, maybe 14 weeks of the pregnancy. That's what it is. And then in the second trimester, we'll go anywhere from 26 to about 28 weeks. And then the final part of it, it's obviously divided up into 9 months, okay? We all know that. But into 9 months. Did you know that there were 105,270 late second and early third trimester abortions performed in the United States of America in 2008? 105,000. Now, Sister Shannon, I don't know that you might not want to see, Clark to see this, but I'm going to pass this out. I'm going to pass it out because I want you to take it home with you, and I want you to look at what these stinking monsters, what they're doing. I want you to look how they have no conscience of what they can do to a baby. By the way, did you know that that shortly before, the last 4 or 5 weeks before a baby is born, that it has more pain receptors in it than it ever has at any point in its life? Did you know that? That's an amazing figure, isn't it? Do you think that baby feels pain when they go in and they do these monstrous things to those children? It's torture is what it is. You know how they get around it? The baby's not viable. The baby's a fetus. No, the baby's not a fetus. It's a baby.
That's right.
It's a baby. Have a look at this, Brother Mike. I'm gonna pass one of these out to each family if I have enough. And I'll give Brother Chris one and you one, Sister Shelley. I think I have enough to do that. And I want you to go through that. I want you to go through this sheet. I want you to look and see what these monsters are doing. You got one? Brother Scott, have you ever looked at this before? Huh? Brother Jack, Sister Mildred. Sister Pat. I'll let y'all share one for a minute, Brother Danny. If I've got one, I'll give one to Sister Penny also. Give you a little bit of time to think of the ungodly wickedness that's pictured here. This is the worst kind of filth. I'll get it back from you. Okay. Brother Roger. This is what we have legalized in the United States of America. Okay. I think everybody has one. Sister Betty, did I give Sister Betty one? I did not, did I? I'm sorry. Sorry, Sister Betty. Yes. I'm not saying you don't count. I just forgot you, brother. How old is a 23-week-old baby? It's 23 weeks.
Right.
How many months does that equate to? It's almost 6 months, isn't it? How can you envision somebody taking a baby? Look at item A here. They're showing a 23-week-old baby in the womb here. The body parts are grasped at random with a long tooth clamp in item A. And then in item B, the body parts are pulled from the baby's body out of the birth canal. They're pulled from the baby's body out of the birth canal. Does this make you sick?
Yeah.
And then in C, the remaining body parts are grasped and pulled out. And in D, the head is grasped and crushed in order to remove it from the birth canal. Back page, partial birth abortion. I believe that they came up with partial birth abortion because the old procedure that you see on the front page of this handout right here is the one that's been around the longest. I believe that they started using partial birth abortions because you see how graphic these pictures are on the front of this? They started using partial birth abortions because this procedure here raised so much ire that they figured that they could go to this partial birth abortion. But there's no difference between it and the other. The result is the same.
Right.
It's still an ungodly, wicked, satanic monster that would do something like this.
Right.
In step one, the baby is grabbed with a set of forceps. And then in two, the baby is pulled into the birth canal. Step three, the baby is pulled through the birth canal, exposing the legs and part of the body. And then in step four, the rest of the baby's body and arms are pulled through the birth canal, leaving the head inside the womb. The scissors and forceps are driven into the baby's skull and a hole opened up. And then in step five, they put a catheter is inserted into the hole made by the abortionist and the baby's brains are sucked out. Then the dead baby is removed from the mother's womb. Now, why do they leave the baby's head in the womb? Anybody have an idea why they do that? Sister Shelley. Yeah.
And I think that's why they leave that little head in there until they kill it. So they don't have to hear it cry when they get it out.
Yes. That's one of the reasons. The other reason I believe that they do that is as soon as that head comes out of that womb, that is a legal live birth, and it is prohibited. It is prohibited. They don't tell you this, but that's what I believe is the reason they do it. They do it for a legal reason because they obviously do not care. They do not care about the physical pain and the emotions that's involved in anybody. All they care about is the big buck, the big dollar. That's all they care about. That's what they care about. I was kind of reluctant to get this and kind of do some teaching on it tonight because I realized how graphic that it was. How many of you have ever been where you've had a presentation where you actually saw what went on with an abortion? How many of you? Raise your hand. Very, very few. We've been sheltered, haven't we, Brother Klein? We've been sheltered. And I believe that most Americans are moral enough. If they had this teaching here, I'm talking about unsaved people. I'm talking about unsaved people. I think they're moral enough where they would rise up in arms about this if we would just get out and push it. By the way, abortion is also a racial issue. Did you know that? Do you know who the founder of Planned Parenthood was? Margaret Sanger. Margaret Sanger was a radical feminist. She was a radical birth control person, and she was a racist. She hated blacks. That's what Margaret Sanger was. Margaret Sanger was a monster. And anybody like her is a monster, too. They got the same attitudes that all the people in the Nazi death camps had. Abortion, though Hispanic women only represented 12.8% of the population in 2000, they accounted for 20.1% of the abortions. During that same period, Though black women only represented 13.7% of the population, they accounted for 31.7% of the abortions in the United States. Some of these black preachers ought to be up in arms. They ought to be literally raising sand about this. And by the way, a guy that I cannot stand politically is, and that's Al Sharpton. I can't stand him. But he is standing up against this particular thing right here. He's opposed to this. Now, one of the things I want to tell you is this, is most of the time government abortion statistics from reporting agencies such as the Centers for Disease Control cannot be trusted because many times they do not include statistics from many states, including some very large states such as California. California is the largest abortionist, the largest baby killing state in the union. And they have not released their statistics since the year 2000. They're not available to the public. They're not available to the CDC because the CDC and federal law does not require them to report the number of abortions that they do. And typically, when you start looking at there's a CDC table that was put out in November 25th of 2011 that lists the abortion statistics. And there's 25 tables included within that particular document. And if you look at that document, routinely there's about 10 states that are not even reporting anything on their abortions. So you can see, and a lot of times that includes California and Florida. And California, Florida, and New York are the three highest baby-killing states in the union. So when any of their statistics is not included, you can see how the statistics are skewed. It's a whole lot worse than what the statistics show. That's what I'm trying to say. It's a whole lot worse. Now, what about legal requirements? What are they required to do legally? Let's talk about the state of Tennessee first. The state of Tennessee has 9 representatives in the United States House of Representatives. Of these 9, 2 are in favor of murdering unborn babies. 2 of them. And they're both Democrats. By the way, this thing inhabits the Democratic Party. And I'm not making a political statement here. It's a fact. It can't be denied. Both of these advocates of baby killing are Democrats. One of these is Jim Cooper, who represents the 5th Congressional District of Tennessee. The other is Steve Cohen, who represents the 9th Congressional District of Tennessee. Both of these devils support the murdering of infants. Both senators from the state of Tennessee oppose abortion. In fact, they're very strongly against abortion. If any or all of the founding fathers of the United States, including presidents, congressmen, senators, and Supreme Court justices, were to show up today, they would all be appalled that we would consider abortion to be legal. They would be appalled. The United States Constitution has been turned on its head, not just by the Obama administration, but I can name you Republican and Democrat administrations where it's been turned on its head.
Yes, sir.
Turned on its head. You need to overthrow the bunch and get the whole bunch of them out up there, Democrats and Republicans. The best way to overthrow them is to vote them out. Okay, abortion was legalized in the United States in 1973 by Roe versus Wade. Y'all know about that decision, right? Y'all probably been around long enough and have heard it. And I've got a list, 3 pages here, of other decisions that deal with the issue of abortion that have gone through the Supreme Court of the United States. And just about every time, the Supreme Court of the United States has sided with the abortionist. There's a very serious problem there. Very serious. Now, Sister Julie, what if you had a daughter and she went and had an abortion without your permission? What would you say about that? Sister Mary, what about you, Brother Bill, without your permission? Do you know that that's legal in some states? They can get what they call a judicial bypass, and they can bypass your parental authority and have that child to have an abortion. Most states require at least one parent to be notified. And even that was challenged in the Supreme Court. 35 states currently enforce parental consent or notification laws for minors seeking an abortion. And Tennessee is one of them. I'm not going to name all of them. And it goes on and on. There's two sites out there that you need to go and look at if you want to get informed on the issue of abortion. And one of them I've already mentioned. That's the National Right to Life Committee.com. www.nrlc.com. That's where it's at. And then type in www.abort73.com. And you know what the Abort 73 is for? Roe versus Wade. And they deal with this issue. And the guy that put that website up is a Christian. Not all the folks that are involved in the National Right to Life Committee are Christian folks, okay? But they side up with Christians because they're all opposed to abortion.
Amen.
And by the way, some of the statistics that I have pulled have come from a group of folks called the Guttmuller. So I'll run across it here in a few minutes. But it's an organization that is a arm of Planned Parenthood. So their statistics, I believe, I know for a fact that their statistics are always higher than what the official government statistics are for the number of abortions that have been performed. But I also know this. I believe they're much higher than even they report. Because, and the reason I say that is because it is beneficial to them, both politically and economically, to underreport the number of abortions that's being performed. It's in their benefit. Abortion is big business. I've already said that. Abortion is big business. What that means, abortion is big business in the United States. Abortions cost at least $451. What that means is that abortion industry generated at least $545,580,000, that's right, in 2011. Planned Parenthood is the largest single provider of baby killings in the United States. Planned Parenthood receives almost one-third of its revenues from performing abortions. And it gets 46% from the federal government, your tax money. Your tax money. And there's been a big issue over that recently. The last annual report for Planned Parenthood showed that they performed 329,445 abortions in 2010, with 31% of their revenues coming from abortions. Now, what that equates to is $148,250,000 that they earned on killing babies. Now, here's where we've got a serious issue coming up, Obamacare. This same group under Obamacare, that figure is expected to grow to $1.7 billion. $1.7 billion. It's big business. And then you take and you throw in the rest of the abortion industry in the United States of America, and that figure is expected to grow to $7.2 billion. Now, for an organization to be called Planned Parenthood, don't you think that's kind of a travesty for an organization like that to be called Planned Parenthood? It's ironic, isn't it? Why shouldn't we call them Planned Abortionhood? Did you know, they call themselves Planned Parenthood, did you know that out of all the abortions that they performed in 2010, that they only referred 841 pregnant mothers to adoption agencies? That's less than, that's a quarter of a percent of the people that they saw. They referred them out. The rest of them, they killed the babies. That's what they done. And I'm right quickly. I know it's 8:20 now, and I do have a lot of material here. But what I want to briefly talk about is the butchering, torturing, and poisonous acts of the abortionists. They're butchers is what they are.
That's it.
They're butchers. And they're using baby human beings as their meat. That's graphic, isn't it? I detest them for that. They hate God. I've got 9 different types of abortions listed here on my sheet here, and I'm just going to briefly mention some of them, and I got some other material I want to get. There's one that's called a very early abortion. It's designed to be used as soon as a pregnancy can be chemically detected. And it's used early on in that, and that's when a lot of the abortions take place. And then you got a what they call a suction aspiration vacuum couterage. That's a medical term, and what they do is they dislodge the baby from the interior of the womb, and they suck it out is what they do. That's a short description of what they're doing, okay? And then you got a dilation and a curettage, which is a DNC. Now, most of you ladies have probably heard of a DNC. Now, DNC is not always wrong, okay? A DNC, a lot of times, must take place when a woman miscarries, okay? You understand that. So that's not always wrong, but it is also a procedure that is used to abort a baby. Here's a real ugly one here, which, by the way, they've documented, I think, 14 or 15 deaths from this method. Chemical method. You ever heard of RU486? If you've been around abortion for very long, RU486 procedure requires at least 3 trips to the abortion facility. In her first visit, the woman is given given the RU486 pills, which block the action of her normal system. The developing baby stars as the nutrient lining in her womb disintegrates. The baby literally starves. At a second visit, 36 to 48 hours later, the woman is given a dose of something called misoprostol, and maybe y'all know what that is. And then a third visit, about 2 weeks later, determines if the abortion has taken place. And at least 4% must return for a surgical removal of a dead baby because they do not abort. You see how ugly this thing gets? And then you got another chemical called methotrexate, which is a chemical, and it involves the same process as RU486 does, but at least 1 in 25 of those become problem areas where they have to go in surgically and remove the baby, the dead baby, the one that they've killed. And then you've got this procedure that I passed out to you a minute ago that you looked at, dilation and evacuation. There was a guy named Dr. Anthony Levitino that testified before the U.S. House of Representatives on May 17th of this year. I'm going to hook up a link to what he wrote about that procedure, what he wrote about it, and you can go and look at it. I'm going to warn you, it's very graphic. So, and then you've got a method called the instillation method. After fluid is withdrawn, chemicals are injected into the amniotic sac to kill the baby and initiate contractions. Saline poisons the child and burns the baby's skin. Other methods such as urea and prostaglandins mainly work by initiating violent contractions. That's what the instillation methods is all about. What they do is they inject a saline solution in. Have you ever put salt into an open wound and know what that feels like? Give you some idea what it's all about. And then you got partial birth abortion. That was the last one that we passed out on that sheet. And then you've got a thing that they call a hysterotomy. Not a hysterectomy, but a hysterotomy. It's similar to a cesarean section. This method is generally used if the chemical methods, such as salt poisoning or prostaglandins, fail. Incisions are made in the abdomen and the uterus, and the baby, placenta, and the amniotic sac are removed. That's what these monsters are doing. RU486 is a very, very dangerous drug. Here's some of the side effects of RU486. Prolonged bleeding, pain, nausea, diarrhea, vomiting, infection, fatigue, fainting, skin conditions, anemia, asthenia, hot flashes, heart palpitations, breast conditions, mood changes, and thirst. The National Right to Life Committee documented the dangers of RU486 and the deaths of 11 mothers from the use of RU486. And yet it's still on the market, folks. Still on the market. Awful quiet in here. We ought to be weeping. We ought to be weeping. You see how far down this country's gone? I've known about this for years. Known it for years and years. But I never studied it in depth like I have in the last probably about 10 days. The Lord laid it upon my heart to really dig into this because I felt that there was a need that we know about this stuff. There's too many people that are voting their pocketbooks and they're not voting from a biblical worldview. They're not voting against the abortionist. They're voting that right there. They don't give a rip about an unborn baby. They don't give a rip about an older person that's disabled and not able to get medical care. They don't give a rip about anybody but themselves in this society. They don't care. And that whole stinking bunch of Democrats and some Republicans are pro-choice is what they call it. And what it really is pro-abortion. They need to go, folks. And Barack Hussein Obama, he especially needs to go. Because of his stand on abortion. He's a very strong advocate of partial birth abortions. And he pushes every part of the agenda of the pro-abortion people. He pushes it. He's for it. And he wants to shove it down your throat. Fundamental Bible-believing Christians, they want to shove it down your throat. I'll show you. That's where they're at with this thing. And folks, it's not pretty. These people are not playing. They are not playing. They'll kill you. You don't think they'll kill you? If they'll kill an innocent baby, they wouldn't hesitate to blow your brains out. And they did. They killed a Georgia congressman, lady congressman, and her husband down around Atlanta about 2 years ago. They killed her. They went in and blew their brains out is what they done and made it look like it was a suicide. Because she was hot on this track, this thing of abortion and the money, how it was being misappropriated and how it was being spent. So they sent somebody out to kill her is what they done. Now, at what point in time does a baby become life? At the moment of conception, don't they? That's when they become life. Okay, let's just look at a few things here, and I'll take just a few more minutes. I really need more time to do what I want to do. This is not the preaching portion of this. The Bible has a whole lot to say about this. You can preach it and preach it and preach it and never exhaust it. Murder of the innocents is absolutely forbidden by God. And it especially involves babies. Day one, fertilization, all human chromosomes present. Unique human life begins at day one. Let me ask you a question. When a calf is conceived, at the point of conception, do scientists consider that to be a life form? So why not babies? You see? See what I'm saying? What about that, Josh? Day number six, embryo begins implanting in the uterus. Day 22, heart begins to beat with the child's own blood, often a different blood type than the mother's. Week five, eyes, legs, hands begin to develop. I've looked this past week, me and my wife have looked this past week at some of these early term abortions And what you see there is you can make out arms, you can make out legs, you can make out heads, you can make out body parts, you can eat, and some of them you can even make the intestines and stuff out of them. In these early term abortions. Okay, in week 6, brain waves are detectable. Mouth, lips are present, and fingers are forming. In week 7, eyelids, toes form, nose distinct, baby kicking and swimming. Week 8, every organ in place, bones and fingerprints begin to form. Weeks 9 and 10, teeth begin to form. Now, they don't, obviously, they don't come out, but in weeks 9 and 10, they begin to form. Fingernails develop, and the baby can turn their head. In week 11, baby can grasp objects placed in the hand. Think about that. This is what they want to kill. Week 17, baby can have a dream. And a lot of times researchers refer to that as REM sleep. And how it's detected is when you're asleep, if somebody walks up on you, your eyes are rapidly moving, they can pretty much tell that you're in some kind of a dream state. Babies do the very same thing. Or is it a baby or is it a fetus?
It's a child.
It's a child. It's a baby is what it is. Now, I asked this question early on. Does abortion cause the baby pain? It does. One of the most important questions that is almost never discussed is whether an unborn baby can feel pain. And I want to tell you this. There is a bill before the United States Congress now that is going to require them to inform a woman that's seeking an abortion of that pain. It's been put before there. And I think they ought to give every possible tool they can to prevent these people from going into the abortion clinics. An unborn baby has less legal protection from feeling pain than do animals that are taken into a slaughterhouse. Did you know that? They got less protection than an animal has. But that's what you get when you advocate evolution. Okay, the following information is directly quoted from the National Right to Life Report, Pain of the Unborn, and it was first published in 2004. At 18 days, brain begins to take shape only 18 days after conception. By 20 days, the brain has already differentiated into its different sections. 5 weeks, pain receptors. At 5 weeks, the baby has pain receptors. 4 or 5 weeks after conception, pain receptors appear around the mouth, followed by nerve fibers, which carry stimuli to the brain. By 18 weeks, pain receptors have appeared throughout the body. Around week 6, the unborn child first responds to a touch. At 6 weeks, the cerebral cortex develops. By 18 weeks, the cortex has a full comprehension of neurons. In adults, the cortex has been recognized as the center of pain consciousness. That's where your consciousness of pain is located at. And then at 8 weeks, during the 8 weeks, the thalamus develops, functioning as the main relay center in the brain for sensory impulses going from the spinal cord to the cortex. In other words, what that's doing is that's telling when that baby gets hurt, that is sent to their brain. That's what that's doing. And then in 14 to 18 weeks, nerve tracts are formed, connecting the spinal cord and the thalamus are established, and nerves from the thalamus first connect to the cortex in week 20. Nerve fibers not routed through the thalamus have already reached the cortex by 14 weeks. So this baby can feel. And then 18 weeks, there's stress hormones. As early as 18 weeks, stress hormones are released by an unborn child injected by a needle. They respond to being injected by a needle. Some medical procedures require that, don't they? Just as they are when adults feel pain. Brother Jim knows a whole lot about needles. He likes needles. But anytime you inject somebody with a needle, there's going to be a reaction. A baby reacts to that. And then at 20 weeks, all parts are in place with pain receptors, spinal cord, nerve tracts, thalamus, and cortex in place. And all anatomical links needed for pain transmission to the brain are in place. So does the baby feel pain when it's aborted? Do they care? Absolutely not. They do not care. Now, in this same article, parentologist, and that's a doctor that performs it, he deals with problem pregnancies. Okay, that's what he deals with. If a woman has a problem pregnancy, this is the type of doctor that would handle that situation. And this guy's name, Stephen Calvin, stated, the neural pathways are present for pain to be experienced quite early by unborn babies. The article went on to state, scientific evidence suggests abortion is excruciatingly painful for the unborn child. Neurologist Dr. Paul Rinaldi stated, at 20 weeks, he uses the term fetal brain, has the full complement of brain cells present in adulthood, ready and waiting to receive pain signals from the body, and their electrical activity can be recorded by a standard EEG. They can record that off of a baby. And then Dr. Robert J. White stated, an unborn child at 20 weeks gestation is fully capable of experiencing pain. Without question, abortion is a dreadfully painful experience for any infant subjected to such a surgical procedure. And it's not a surgical procedure, it's an execution. It's an execution. They're not surgeons, they're abortionists. They are abortionists. Now, the article came to three conclusions concerning the pain of the unborn. That between weeks 20 and 30, the unborn baby has more pain receptors per square inch than at any time before or after birth. Remember I told you that earlier on? And then pain inhibition is not fully developed until after a child has been born. And then the third item was the unborn child's experience of pain is actually heightened. In other words, they feel it more than what you do. Now, there are a lot of dangers to the mother, too, in abortion, aren't there? A lot of dangers. I've got a list of 14 of them here. Damage to the uterus, future infertility, doubling the risk of future sterility, 50% increase in tubular pregnancies for one abortion, 90% for two abortions, increased risk of miscarriage, increased risk of premature births leading to increased infant death rates and cerebral palsy as a result of abortion. Infection, sepsis, and endometriitis. That's a very dangerous thing there. Cervical laceration, uterine, bladder, and bowel perforations. And you can die from those things. Pelvic inflammatory disease. Severe pain, cramping, nausea, and diarrhea are caused from RU-286. Also, hemorrhage, infection, and rupture of the ectopic. I'm not exactly sure what that is. I meant to look it up, and I neglected to. And then there's a, listen at this, there's a 30% increased risk for breast cancer in women that have had abortions. A 30% increase. Abortion has also been linked to higher rates of cervical and ovarian cancer. Death to the mother caused by anesthesia, infection, hemorrhage, and pregnancy and embolism is also one of the side effects of abortion. More than 350 deaths of mothers have resulted from legal abortions in the United States of America. More than 350. And then what about, and I'm not going to get into them, what about the emotional, spiritual, and social consequences of abortion for the mother? It's something that she has to live with for the rest of her life. You'll not be able to forget it. If you're a young lady here and that thought has ever occurred to you, or you have a friend that is considering abortion, you need to talk with them. You need to let them know. I'll provide this to somebody that's considering something so that they can sit down and read it. I'll sit down and talk with them. Don't need to go through this. You know that people, that ladies that go through an abortion, that 28% of them try to commit suicide following an abortion? Did you know that? Do you think that maybe they have some conscience that tells them that what they've done is really wrong? They know it's wrong. They know it's wrong. And I know that this might offend some folks. But if you are a mother and you abort a child, you are guilty of murder. You're guilty of murder. There's no way around it. You have killed that which God gave the conception for. You've killed it. And you had no reason to do that. Now the question is this. If a young lady has an abortion, can she be forgiven for it? Absolutely. Absolutely. We need to get them to Jesus. We must get them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Especially when we know that 28% of them are likely to try to commit suicide. You take I quoted you the figure of 1,200,000+ abortions in America. Take that and multiply that by 28%. And what do you come up with? You come up with close to 300,000 ladies post-abortion who will try to commit suicide. Is there, and this is one of the things that the abortionist drives on, is there an economic cost involved in that? They always appeal to that, to the economic cost. There is an economic impact of abortion, and it's all negative, folks. I'm here to tell you that it's negative. That's what it is. I'm not going to get into any more material tonight, but I want to let you know that what I am, I'm going to hit this table right here. But I want to let you know that if you will go to the National Right to Life Foundation and look at the material that they've got there, they have a document up there that I don't recall what the title of it is, but what it does is it tells you how to deal with individuals that are considering an abortion. It tells you how to deal with the abortionist. It tells you how to deal with the media should you receive an interview from the media. It tells you how all those things, how to do those things. It's an 18-page document. We need to get involved. We must get involved. In there they have this table. And I'm going to close with this. Here's what you do say. Decisions, alternatives, and options. You do not say choice. It's not a choice. Choice is the product of feminism, radical feminism. That's what choice is the product of. I have a right to do with my body whatever I want to, regardless of what God has to say about it. And regardless of what my husband might say about it, my pastor might say about it, my mom and dad might say about it, I have a right to do what I want to with my body. You know what you're doing when you do that? You're worshiping yourself. You're worshiping yourself. Say this, unborn child, preborn child, or baby. Never use the term fetus. Don't say fetus. Say, when referring to the baby, she or he. Never say it about the baby, because it kind of plays into their hands with this idea of a fetus, okay? And then always say mother, not pregnant woman. It's always mother, because she's a mother as soon as she conceives. A mother as soon as she conceives. You always refer to these baby killers as abortionists or baby killers. Never refer to them as a doctor or a physician or a surgeon. They're a baby killer. They're an abortionist. They're a hitman. They're paid to do what they do. And you say abortion facility. Never call it a clinic or a hospital. You say abortion industry. You never call it a reproductive health care provider or a family planning center. Those are products of Planned Parenthood. You always say abortion. You never say termination of pregnancy. You always say pro-abortion, never pro-choice. You always say pro-life, never anti-abortion. You always say protect unborn children from abortion, never say prohibit abortion. You always say unborn victim, preborn victim of violence, never feticide or infanticide is another term that they use for it. That's a clinical term, okay? It's a clinical term just like homosexual is a clinical term. The Bible calls it sodomite. And then this thing of feticide, the Bible calls it the taking of shedding of innocent blood. It calls it murder. And then you always say extreme abortion on demand laws, not liberal abortion laws. How many times have you heard that term? And then you say completely unprotective laws, never permissive abortion laws. And then you use the phrase abortion promoters rather than the phrase reproductive rights or advocates or supporters. And now Planned Parenthood says that you should refer to them as killers and not murderers. I don't believe that. I think they need to be referred to as murderers because that's what the Bible calls them. Now, there may be a legal reason that Planned Parenthood is saying that you should not call it murder, but should call it killing. That occurred to me that might be the case. So, because murder is something that generally is prosecutable under the law, isn't it? Now, we have killings, like killings in self-defense, that are justifiable homicide. They don't prosecute for those, do they? So, and that doesn't get in to, and that's just some of the statistics, and I really appreciate y'all listening because it is, we've been going probably about an hour and 15 minutes, brother. So, does anybody have any questions or comments? That's not the preaching. Abortionist. Baby killer.
Yep.
Did y'all hear that? Just like a man notching his gun, they need to take that man out and blow his stinking brains out. But Brother Chris, did you know that Jacksonville has probably the third highest abortion rate in the country? Right behind New York City. And I'm sure that one of the California cities also has that. Now, I've spent a lot of time researching this. And I can go into a whole lot more depth than what I have tonight. It has just about made me sick. I've been under a lot of pressure. But I'm going to take this material that I've got, and I'm going to take it and I'm going to link it up on the church's website. And if you care about unborn children, I want you to go and look at it. You need to go and look at it. Because what it needs to do, it needs to be stuck in our minds that we're not going to put up with this anymore. It's wicked, it's ungodly, it's baby killing, and it's an abomination before God. Sodomy is an abomination, baby killing is an abomination before God. Anybody else have a comment or question they want to ask? I know we've run a long time, and I really appreciate y'all holding your attention pretty much. I know some of you have been pretty much riveted because when you're in the pulpit up here, you follow people's reactions, don't you, Brother Klein? And you look. Don't let a child go through an abortion. Brother Chris, would you close us with a word of prayer, please, sir?